This is Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, friends.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast. We are so excited you have joined us. And as you could tell by the hello, we have an awesome, awesome guest for you tonight. Her name is Dana Schmoyer, and she is a, do you do a podcast? I know you do a video series, but you've talked about doing a podcast, right?
Talked about doing a podcast, active on Instagram and Facebook.
That's right. And her YouTube, you should totally check it out. It has a lot of really great videos. She is a mom to 7 beautiful kiddos. Oh my goodness. You had them within 8 years.
Yes.
And it just blows my mind. I realize.
Mine too.
her website is reclaimingmotherhood.com. And thank you, Dana, for joining us tonight.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, gladly.
So if it's okay, Dana, I just need to brag on you a bit because I got to tell you that Dana has been my friend for a while and we've teamed up in some prayer team things.
Yes.
And she's just amazing. But this week I kind of was binge watching your YouTube channel. So, you know, that was fun.
I'm curious to know which ones.
I was binge watching them. So I already loved you, but now I even love you more if that's possible.
Aww.
Because I just have such a greater respect of you, the way you walk in your identity of how God created you to be, mm-hmm. and your beautiful ministry. And I am in awe and I'm inspired by how you run your household, how you care for your children. Now, I could never do what you do, but that's because God made me differently. But it's just amazing and inspiring. And I know that your kids are being blessed. And I know I was blessed by watching it. So thank you for coming. And thank you for being uniquely you, because it was cool to watch this week.
Well, thank you. That is so encouraging to hear.
Yes, it was really fun to watch my friend on YouTube. That was cool.
Oh, that's cute.
Yes.
So, Dana, tell me a little bit about your ministry, Reclaiming Motherhood. What was the impetus for it? And where do you see this going in the months and years to come?
So we were putting our family videos on for years, many, many years. So that's what, if you go and you start digging back, it's more just our family. What do we do? Our family team developing one kid at a time. Well, sometimes 2 kids at a time. I have 7 kids in 8 years. You got to throw some twins in there to make that possible. So, as the years started changing and as our family dynamics started changing, and as I was growing personally, things just kind of shifted and I started, wanting to put more of my voice into it as I started getting healthier. The early years were really rough. And there was a lot of chaos in our house and there was a lot of chaos in my heart. And, actually had quite a few journals that were tear stained of me just crying out to the Lord, like, this is a lot. I think it was when I was pregnant with baby right after baby number 3 was born, started kind of having a fear that the Lord was going to give me more kids than I could handle. And kind of turns out he did. And through that process, he was just molding me and just teaching me how to depend on him. And man, yeah, my faith was strong in adolescence. But man, my faith, I mean, throwing 7 kids in, your faith grows so much more. Like, I've had so many people be like, you must be such a patient parent. And that's why you have so many kids. I'm like, no, you learn as you go. This isn't a skill that you have. And then you're like, oh, and now I will do this. It's something that's developed at the time.
Yeah.
And Yeah. So that when, I guess when my youngest was about three, that's when I started feeling a little bit healthier and feeling like, okay, now I'm starting to see these glimpses of joy. The chaos is starting to dwindle and joy is starting to come in. And I felt like I could start talking to other moms a little bit about reclaiming motherhood and turning that chaos into joy.
What do you think the shift was there? Sorry, Jen.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
The shift was probably my health. I had started focusing on my health at that point. I mean, I was depleted from everything, physically, emotionally, even spiritually, with having so many kids so quickly and having my first break after the last kid really made a difference in me starting to realize, oh man, okay, now I'm in a healthier spot and starting to see things more clearly.
Was there ever a moment where your internal self-talk was conflicting against social expectations of what motherhood should be in like some of your lower points of, wow, this is really hard, or I feel, you know, when you were dealing with postpartum, I'm feeling really depressed and dark. Was there any moments like that?
Oh yeah. After my fourth was a really hard postpartum depression season. That still brings me to tears whenever I talk about it. My oldest was five, I think, when number four was born. I actually did have almost 3-year gap between number two and number three.
Wow.
Which makes 7 kids in 8 years even more shocking.
Wow.
The last five were on top of each other. And that season I did not get out of bed most days, after baby number four. And then came our twins very soon after that. And we ended up hiring a nanny to help get through that season. And I went on an antidepressant at that season. No, I did not. It wasn't until much later. I should have gone on an antidepressant during that season to get me out of there. But that was one of those seasons where I still, I didn't have someone in my life at that time to encourage me in that way and tell me it's okay to get help medically. That was a season where some of the key people in my life were against that. And it was really rough. So that was one of those that I just turned to my journal and just prayed to the Lord and just cried out to him, because there was no other way through it without him.
Wow.
Was getting back to the one part of that question though, and maybe this wasn't a part of your story, but did societal expectations bump against that? Were you like, oh man, I should be as a mom, like happy and got it all together and this should just be wonderful because that's what society is telling me, but no, that's not the case.
Yeah. Well, and our family was on YouTube during this time. So if you go back and you look probably at this year, when was he born? 2014. There's probably more videos with me not in it than there are with me in it. Because I just said, I can't do this. And so it was even more, there was even like a personal pressure there to keep these videos going and keep the audience happy. And come to find out many years later, there were people that could tell that the things weren't going well. And so it's pretty hard to hide it, especially from people that know the world of social media and putting your life out there. And you can put on this happy facade and try to make it, but there's people that can pick it up and know really what's going on. And so I think more of the pressure was from us than anyone with that.
Yes. So you kind of took over the channel and made this kind of switched it up and made it Reclaiming Motherhood. What was What was that about? Why did you decide that, you know, this was my time to use the channel in this way?
I think I was done putting the whole family on there. I mean, they were still there. I loved it. I mean, who doesn't love watching cute kids?
Yeah, they're pretty cute.
And so, but at that point I had so many, so after baby number seven, I had just so many lessons, just so many reps to learn lessons and just feedback that I would get from young moms that were asking for help for different things and advice on how to do different things. And I didn't really feel like I had something that I could come and be like, hey, I'm an expert in this and I'm going to teach you how to do this. But it was, I've got this story. This is what I've gone through. And I just want to share my journey through this. And hopefully maybe what I have gone through and how I've come through it can be something that's helpful with that.
Yeah, I think some of the best ministries are born out of the experiences that people have had personally, and like they're really in touch with like, this is what it really takes. Here's where the rubber meets the road on that.
Yeah. Yeah. And the rubber met the road many times in motherhood for me. And still I'm like, my oldest is only 13 right now. I'm like, there's still a lot of mothering to happen. I've got a lot to learn. But probably the hardest, I don't know. I'm like, there's like three different seasons of my life that I call the hardest, and I don't know where they would rank up, but I don't really know if I care to rank them. but our seventh was born blind in one eye. So her first year of life, she had three different surgeries on that one eye. So bring on postpartum depression again. That's when I actually did get on an antidepressant, because my deepest day that I've ever had. So newborn, cataract surgery, they take out her lens. So then we are given a contact lens to put in a baby's eye.
Oh my goodness.
And when she hit the crawling season, that was rough. Cause when she was a baby, I mean, when she wasn't crawling, we already, anytime she would rub her eye, we had to like a lot, we lost the contact. And so we got into the habit where, we would check her eye if we were in a room, and if we were going to move her to another room, we looked and checked her eye, made sure it was in there, go to the next room where we're going to put her in, check her eye again, just in case it fell out in the hallway somewhere as we were going, and then check it. And so anytime we would move her, we would check her eye, because we had experience losing it so many times. So one day Tim's off traveling, speaking at a conference. Livia loses her contact 10 times in one day.
Ooh.
I'm the only parent there at home. I break down. And that was, I was up in my bedroom, texted out the friends that were closest proximity wise to me and said, I'm not doing well. I'm in my room. Here's my garage code. And had two friends show up in within 10 minutes.
Wow.
And were by my side helping me through that, because I was just, I was done. I was so ready to give up.
Wow.
So what helped you kind of move to a place of, I can breathe a little bit, as you work through that little by little?
One of those friends that showed up, they were both very, they both fought for me at that point, like talking me down, encouraging me. And because at that point in life, every single morning when I would wake up, the words that I spoke to myself were negative right away. And one of them spoke the hard words, telling me that I had to get on an antidepressant. And I hated hearing that at that moment. But she was absolutely right, because I needed something to help me even start to get to a better place. My faith had stayed strong through all of this, which I love. I've had several people ask me, like, were you ever mad at God? I was like, never. I was never mad at him throughout this whole entire journey. 'Cause he was always the one that was there.
Yeah.
And I've just through my whole entire life, ever since I was even a kid, like I can see where God has been in so many. We moved around a lot growing up. And so there were lots of hard moments that I struggled with, but God was always my constant in my life. And so all the hard stuff, with being a mom, he was always there, and he was always the one that I knew that I could run to and trust. So these friends speaking in and just saying, we're getting through this. And then one of them, actually invited me to woman camp to be a prayer warrior after this breakdown and after a hard, small group season of speaking a lot of truth and honesty into each other's lives. And for her to see and recognize and invite me to be a prayer warrior just meant the world to me. Mm. Of wow, like I'm such a broken person, and she has seen me in my lowest moment and still saw this gift that the Lord has given me to be able to go and pray over other women.
Yes. Well, it's a beautiful gift. I've witnessed it and experienced it and prayed with my sweet friend here. And I just want to say your faith is incredible. I wish I could say the same thing, but there's been many times where me and the Lord have battled. I guess I battled with him and, you know, been upset with him.
Yeah.
So your faith is just beautiful. And I'm even more inspired by your story. So we're here now, and now that I've binged watched some of your YouTube videos, I noticed it's been a while. So where is your ministry now, and where are you headed?
It has been a while. So come to find out, fixing the chaos in motherhood is more than just fixing the symptoms.
Oh, yeah.
So when we had this shift and we had this like grand idea, we're doing Reclaiming Motherhood, set everything up, had this like whole business plan for it and everything. God knew I needed to learn a lot more.
Yeah.
And he uncovered the root issue of the chaos in our family. And that's for a whole other time,
yeah,
because we don't have time tonight for that one. But uncovering that root brought my husband and I both to therapy individually. Wow. Because we had a lot to work through. A lot of that depression and chaos that I experienced having 7 kids in 8 years. We had to talk through that with our therapists, and we had to talk through that separately. We're like 2.5 years later, still doing therapy separately, and have only come together like a handful of times, just because there's so much more individually than I like ever expected. Like the whole like two become one and you're married and you're one, you're like, but you're still, there's still two separate units to work through.
Sure.
Hardships.
Yeah.
And
yeah
and family of origin stuff and just the way that we function. That's been a whole thing that I'm really excited about for the future, whenever the Lord gives the green light to start sharing about that more in depth with my husband. I would be surprised if that isn't in our future. Because just there's so much power in sharing our stories and sharing our experiences. And so now it's just seeing those roots and digging those up and just shining a light on things that were hidden. The strength and the growth that I have had kind of surprises me sometimes. The biggest one was this week. I just turned 40 this week.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I'm so ready for this decade. 30s were so hard.
40s are amazing.
I'm so ready, because I'm like, I'm in just such a different place already. I'm like, I'm only like 2 days into my 40s. But I already feel so much better than 30.
Yeah.
I feel like in your 40s, you really, as a woman, you really come into your own. I think you really get to know yourself a lot better and accept yourself a lot better. At least for me, that was my experience.
Acceptance. That's the word.
20s were like a blur. 30s were a little clearer, but still I was, you know, running off of that whole energy from 20 in my 20s. And so when I got in my 40s, then it was like, oh, this is who I am. This is so much better. So 40s were good. Right.
And seeing the good in who we are and the strength in that. Yeah. So my party for my 40th birthday, you could almost, I mean, someone from the outside came and looked, they would probably think it was not an adult's birthday party. They probably thought it was a kid's. Because I was surrounded by my family, all seven kids, my husband, and then some really good friends and all their kids too. Like, the kids totally outnumbered the adults at this point.
Well, I'm sure that happens often.
It does. And I love it. But that wasn't the case for many years. For many years, when it came to my birthday, all I wanted was just to get away. And I just wanted an escape. Yeah. And I wanted to be alone. And so when I sat down at the table for everybody to sing happy birthday, and I looked at the table and it was covered in kids, because they wanted the first view of the birthday cake, and then parents were around, and I just looked and I was like, this is the best view ever. Like, I just love seeing this. And then reflecting afterwards, loved that I loved it. It just hit me. I was like, wow, that is a huge shift. That right there just showed me so much healing that I've had over the years. And really feel like I am reclaiming motherhood. Like, the Lord is really showing me, like, I going into it before the roots were exposed. I think I was trying to do it mostly in my own strength. And now it's like, all right, God, I'm okay to just wait and let you show me things, and let you show me. Get these words together.
Let you show me
how to turn the chaos into joy, and what really matters and what's really important. So the future at this point, I don't know. I'm doing updates, not as active as I would. Well, I would say not as active as I would like, but at the same time, I'm really just learning to just cherish the people that are right in front of me right now.
Amen.
And pour into them. And, but man, Tiffany, your encouragement of watching those videos and the feedback on that, that really tugs at my heart. Because I know just the strength in stories.
Yeah. They're so fun. They are so inspiring. And I was inspired, and, you know, as a woman, we do that like guilt and condemnation thing, because obviously we know each other, Dana and I do, and we are very different, like completely opposites, but we love each other so much.
It's so much.
So it would make sense that, you know, my household wouldn't operate and I wouldn't operate the same way as Dana. So there's no reason to feel guilty about these things, but the way she raises her children and just how she speaks to the audience and how well done her videos are all around. It's just inspiring. And I left feeling inspired. And you can really see that you are in a season of cherishing those little things, and that it really is a season of about his strength and not yours. So it's beautiful.
Thank you.
Wise friend I have, Jen, huh?
Yes.
I'm working on it. I have a few silver hairs. I keep admiring them. Every time I see one sparkling, I'm like, oh, that's wisdom.
There you go. Well, you have a friend who can make your hair purple at any time. Just saying.
Maybe one day. That would be fun.
That
We'd have to use a lot of bleach first. My hair is so dark.
Yes. Yes,
it can be done. It can be done.
I could do it for you. Maybe your 50th. Maybe that's what we'll plan for that.
Oh no, you got to do it before then. Got to come on. Let's get the
Well, the purple I agree, train. But you know, Dan and I might need a little bit more time to process it. I could go and hit the bleach right now. You know, me, I could do it right this second. But she might need a little bit more processing time than that. I'm just
probably
saying.
Yeah, it would take me a little bit to get on that.
10 years, she'll jump on it by then.
There we go.
So Dana, if you were to say meet yourself from, I don't know, 10 years back, what would you say to yourself in preparation for the things that you were getting ready to go through?
That's good, Jen. That's good.
Wow.
Because you processed a lot. I mean, aside from having the physical changes, your body, you know, processing out, that sounds weird to say, but seven children, processing right. out, having seven children. But yeah.
I would probably say trust your gut, trust your instinct, the things that you're questioning, the voice of the Lord that you know so well, continue to trust and lean into that. I think I even started questioning if I was really hearing the Lord correctly on some stuff. Man, because when you get so worn out, especially in those early motherhood days, you're exhausted. It's hard to think clearly even. Make sure that you take care of yourself so you can think clearly. Build a village around you. I think so many times of how our culture expects moms to be able to do things all on their own and not depend on other families and other and members of your own family coming in and really helping a whole lot. Like that's kind of almost frowned upon, I feel like, at some points. Like the super mom mentality that you can do it all on your own. It's all a lie. You right. need help. And right. And welcoming that in early on and learning to accept help from others and enjoying that help and that it's good to have help, because I personally love to help other people. And yeah. so that was kind of my shift in learning that was when I kept feeling bad that I needed help and then realized, well, wait, I love to help other people. What if there's other people that love to help as well? And I'm kind of taking that opportunity away from them by turning them down. So I did at some point, couldn't tell you when, shifted and started. Like when people would offer to help, I would take them up on it.
Yeah.
And figured, you know what? If they don't really want to help, then they shouldn't offer to help.
Yeah.
But most people who do offer to help mean it. And it means a lot to them to take them up on it.
So is that, I was going to say, so would that be advice you'd want to give to like friends of a new mom, like offer the help? What would be good advice for them to help support a new mom?
Yeah, offer the help. And if you're someone that can even see a need, like I had one time had a friend just say, you know what, would it be helpful? Someone in our small group, she goes, would it be helpful if our small group brought you meals this week? And I just broke down crying. I was like, that's exactly what I need.
Yeah.
And just lifting that weight off. And just even simple things like that. Well, I guess bringing a meal to people sounds simple for some. Some people it's not simple for. So I think just, I just think the church body, not necessarily people in the building, but just people in your life who love the Lord, using their gifts in whatever way, if it's just encouraging you and spending some time with you and sitting down and having tea and just sharing some joy into your life. Just offering that to a new mom, even, I think is so helpful if getting a meal is not your thing. And that really wasn't my thing of offering to cook an extra meal while I'm already taking care of my family. I'm like, no, thank you. But I can go to somewhere else and buy one if I really need to.
Buy one. That's right. Yeah.
But yeah, just, I feel like even just sitting down and sharing that joy and letting the joy of the spirit rub off on a new mom who probably could really use some laughter in their day, I think is helpful.
So I have a question for super moms or pretend to be super moms out there, because I'm one of those pretend to be ones sometimes. And I really struggle receiving help, asking for help, all those things. So I know I'm not alone, because that's a big thing. Like you said, could you give us all some tips how you started that process? Because surely there was like an awkward period, right?
Oh, yeah.
How did you have these conversations? We need to know. And how did you just accept the help and breathe it in and receive it? How were you able to stay present in that moment? Because that moment even sounds terrifying to me.
Yeah. Well, learning to accept it takes practice.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a one and done. I did have an aha moment, though, that brought me to the realization that it's good to accept help and let somebody help you. I was trying to walk in to Bible study at Crossroads one week, and I have six kids at the time. Maybe I had seven, probably six, who knows? But I had a system down. I mean, we all know how we can function on our own with our kids. And so I had all the kids get out of the van. The twins were in the stroller. My next kids all had a hand on the stroller so that they're not running around the parking lot. And then another woman is walking in to study at the same time. She goes, can I push your stroller for you? And I said, no, thank you. I got it. And then after study, I was thinking, what a lost opportunity. Uh-huh. I could have chatted with that woman on the way in. When I turned her down, that kind of separated us. I was going slow. She could walk way faster than the seven of us at that time could together. And I lost out on the opportunity of being able to hold my kids' hands instead of having them hold on to the stroller. I could have given her the stroller and I could have held on to the hand of my child instead. Wow. And that was just a huge eye-opener for me of,
wow,
oh, I totally missed out on two great things at that time.
Wow. That's awesome. To realize, like, afterwards you could step back from that and see the opportunities and how they could be presented in a very simple way, like taking a very real experience and how that could have been turned into a moment.
Yeah. Cause at that time it was like, no, I'm super mom. I got this. Like, I know how to get my kids into the building. But then I had to start planning ahead. So here's a little tip with this of how to start accepting help. I had to start planning ahead and knowing tiny little things like that, that I could easily delegate. If somebody came and asked, can I help you? I had to start figuring out, like, okay, what can I give over? Like, what for me feels like a simple thing that I feel comfortable handing over to somebody else? Because what I can't do still is someone come into my home and be like, what can I help you with? If I have to explain a detailed thing to get done, it doesn't help me because I'm still using my brain power to get through it. Uh-huh. But if it's something very simple that I can just, that doesn't need any kind of guidance to hand to somebody, like push the stroller, that'd be great. Those kind of things I had to start thinking through of how can someone help me that I'm okay with letting them help me with.
Yeah.
So people would say things like, let me know if you need any help. Would you take those moments right there? How did those conversations go? Would you say, okay, actually I do. Like, because we all have said, like, you know, let me know if you need any help. Even if, like, sometimes we probably don't even mean it, you know, like, so
it's just like a, hey, how are you? Good.
Like a polite thing kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right. Is that when you stop them? Like, you know, like, actually I do need some help. Like, how did these conversations start?
I think it depends on like, you can kind of tell the context of if somebody's like asking, like, I can help you right this moment with something if you need it, or tell me if you need like help with something this week or something, who knows. And so I will. Yeah. So I think that training my brain would be like, have something that I would know in the moment that I can just be like, here, yeah, sure, you can carry this for me. But if it's like the long term, like, okay, I do have this coming up. Like I a couple years ago had surgery and someone said, let us know if we can help you with anything. So what it ended up being was our childcare for the day ended up not feeling well and we needed backup childcare. So I called the people that said, we will help you with anything.
Right.
Like, are so you they, sure?
They took all seven of our, or they came over and stayed the whole entire day with all seven of our kids. And it turned out great. They were complimenting them like crazy because our kids can run, they can run the show at our home. They know how to do everything. And that was exactly their comment. They were like, we didn't even really have to do anything. We just needed somebody to be responsible if something went awry.
Someone so, over the age of 18, please. Yes.
So if you do offer me help, watch out because yes, please watch all seven of my kids because we have something that just happened. So.
That's amazing. Well, if you can do it, Dana, then there's hope for us that, yes. You know, me with three little ones, that I can do it. So you thank can you totally for the inspiration.
Oh, that's so good.
Yes.
Well, I think we're going to wrap it up there. Again, this has been Dana Schmoyer, and her website is reclaimingmotherhood.com. You should totally check it out. Check out her YouTube video. Yes, there are a lot of really great, fun videos out there. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. This is so enjoyable.
I've enjoyed it, and I don't even have little ones. It's been so good.
I can't wait to hear your podcast, Dana. So,
yes. One day. Yes. One day. It'll happen one day.
Natural. Yeah.
Whatever we can help with on that side as far as advice. Okay. Yes. Offering perfect. That. Offering that.
And you're very specific, really. And that help.
And I mean it.
My advice is just pray, because that's all we really do.
I mean, that works.
Well, prayer is absolutely needed, but yeah, you need other stuff too, like equipment and things like that. But you have a lot of that. So anyway, but anywho. But thank you, friends, for joining us, and we will see you guys next time.
Bye, friends.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Podcast copyright 2022, Parable Road, LLC.